Gorgeous George and Ghost, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's up, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Ghost checking in here on a Sunday night for your Monday morning delivery. It's Sunday, April 21st. It is really a rare occasion where we don't have at least a UFC to talk about, but it doesn't mean we don't have UFC news to talk about. And of course, other news in the world of combat sports, including a guest of ours who comes from the MMA world, but he'll be getting down at bare knuckle fighting. No, it's just Knuckle Mania is what it's called. Knuckle Mania 4, which is the promotion, their biggest show of the year. And that promotion is Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. So Big Ben Roth will be our guest. We'll go over some news. We're going to have a good time. Buckle up. Well, Goes, it's near your hometown. Have you decided if you're going to go to Knuckle Mania? Let's start with that.
I haven't. I'm probably leaning towards not, though.
Okay.
But I wouldn't be shocked if you told me, guess what? I could see in the future and you were there.
Yeah, man, I wish I was going. I'll be home in a few weeks, so I'm just going to miss it. But I haven't been to one yet, and it doesn't look like they come west very often. They've come to Utah a few times, Idaho, Montana. You look at the map, and it looks like, oh, yeah, it's close. It's not. Each one of those is about a two-hour flight and about an 8 to 12-hour drive, whereas California is about a four-hour drive, but we can sleep there once the night's over. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to drive home that next day. Plus, Cali rules, man. It's so laid back and chill. But, yeah, I wish I was going. Especially because I really like Big Ben and Todd Duffy. Anyway, more on Big Ben in just a bit. Did you like the rare week off we had from the UFC? Or does part of you ever get to Saturday and you're like, damn, I really wish I was, there was something. Even that good old Apex card.
I don't know how to answer this question anymore because I was stoked at first that there wasn't a card. But then I was like, well, I'm still going to wait. I'm still going to wait till really late tonight to watch F1. I'm going to watch Haney and Garcia. So it was like, it doesn't matter anyway. Like, I guess I still use time to watch something. It's not like I could say, because there was no card, I went to go see the Blue Man Group or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it was kind of nice that watching fights for us, I think, is a little different than everyone else. You can't just sit there and like pour a beer and just go, huh, someone got knocked out. Like, you have to really pay attention to things. And you watch it with this way of forecasting storylines, like, okay, this person won, now that means they get to fight this person. Like, where I think a lot of people just watch it just to see people get KO'd or put to sleep, you know? So it's like a little bit of a stressful watch in a way. So that feeling I didn't have this weekend. That was what was fun about boxing, was just watching that and having fun and cracking jokes, and that I felt a little bit more normal. How about you? Mm-hmm.
I guess I like, you know, back in the day, I used to go to bed with Cheers on. A lot of people may not even know that show. It was a comedy show. And then it became Frasier or Seinfeld or just something having it on in the background. And so even a good old Apex card, because of the multiple TV setup or something like that, you know, I can be at a gym or just in the garage working out, and I see it. It can be on mute, but I like the fact that it's there. Until we get to the fights that I really want to tune into, whether I bet them, or I feel like we're going to talk about them, or whatever, right? It's just, they're there. And so when it's not there, it's like, what do I do again? Like, you know, like it's just this, it's weird because I think the UFC does 42 out of 52 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Bellator and PFL are one now. So it's not like, well, one is on Friday and one's on Saturday. But there is still Karate Combat, which I'd love to talk about in just a sec. And then, like, this week there's Bare Knuckle, which will actually follow the UFC Apex card. They're not really going to run into each other, with the exception of maybe some early prelims on Bare Knuckle. But I don't think that's too much of a concern of anyone. But then boxing does have that occasional fight like Haney and Garcia that can kind of save the day. You know, baseball, I love it when it's there. Basketball and hockey, I love it when it's there. So I don't know. I don't know what to say about it other than I do kind of miss it when it's not there. But, you know, I'm not like broken hearted, like cracking bottles of wine, tears coming down my eyes.
Well, you know, what can make a big difference too, though, is like, I'll give you an example. The boxing and the karate combat this weekend, I was tuning in for one fight. So I can do whatever I want, knowing that around a certain time, I need to be home to watch that one fight. And Apex card sometimes, we have to watch a lot of bullshit to get to one fight that we want to see or two fights. It just depends. They're not all created equal. Sometimes there's Apex cards where you're like, man, I'm pretty into the whole main card. And then sometimes you're just like, man, this just doesn't matter. But you're forced to sit there and watch the whole thing. And sometimes they even distribute it in a way where it's like a couple fights you don't care about, one that you do, then a couple you don't, then what? So like you're kind of, before you know it, the whole day's gone.
Yeah, I agree. I guess coming off UFC 300, it was nice to exhale a little bit, and that's fine. And now we just start recharging. In fact, now I'm at the point where I have to tell everyone, okay, not this Saturday coming up. So basically 2 weeks from yesterday, but the following Saturday, May 4th, Goz and I will be doing a watch along on MMA Junkie for UFC 301, which is headlined by Alexander Pantoja versus Steve Urseg. Pantoja will be defending his flyweight title. And then you also have the return of Jose Aldo. He'll be taking on Jonathan Martinez. A bunch of other fights are on the card as well. We're not going to lie to you. Oh, hopefully this doesn't get on Dana White's nerves. But it's not the best card you've ever given us, Dana. Is that okay to say? I don't know. But, I mean, I guess maybe we should comment on that. What'd you think of that video that Dana put out? Junkie dodged bullets there. I mean, I'm sure a lot of us were critical of the card, but what did you think of that video that he put out where he basically blasted the media for, I guess, not being as excited about the card as he would want you to be?
A couple things. You guys can't see this, but George can. I think a lot of times in life, you just have to do this. Just brush it off your shoulder. Because at the end of the day, whatever it is you're trying to prove, and whatever it is the other guy, let's just say the media, is trying to prove, they're still going to come to our site and read our stories, and they're still going to go watch the UFC. We're not doing anything to each other. Mm-hmm. So in a way, it's a little bit of a waste of time, in my opinion, but it kind of cracked me up that he did it. It didn't really bother me. It made me laugh, and I do have to say, look, anyone with a brain, I think, can kind of just figure it out. Like, you don't know when these people said these things. You know, early on, a lot of us, even fighters, would kind of say, I don't know what's going on with UFC 300. Like, they need to do something quick. But if you would have maybe asked us that a week before, we would have a different opinion. You know, we would say something different. It all depends when you captured this audio from these people. So I think that's like maybe a little unfair. But at the same time, it's so ridiculous that it's kind of funny. Like, I think anybody with a brain would just figure that out. So I don't know that, like, if I were one of the people who was being picked on, that I would have to go, nah, I said this with a whole month. You know, like, I just think people would figure that out. I don't know. But it kind of cracks me up. I didn't really, like, take offense to it or anything like that. Do you?
No, I didn't either. But I did see a lot of the fighters themselves basically heaping praise on him, you know.
Well, that's pretty funny because you could probably make a video of his own fighters talking shit about the card. So, like, I mean, you can kind of do these things about everything.
Yeah, the magic of video editing, for sure. It probably wouldn't be hard to find opposing viewpoints from, I guess it'd be his own fighters, because the matchmakers don't really do any media. His employees don't really do any media. You'd have to, I guess, sell someone out. You know, someone sent you a private message or whatever and you posted it. But I think there's enough of his fighters that just were like, you know, look, 300, we always said it was deep. I remember I knew I had my work cut out because there was going to be a lot of ranked fighters on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, you know, when it came to rankings. I remember saying this. Brock versus Mir and GSP versus Alves was definitely more of a pop than Hill and Pajeda and Zhang Weili against Jonan Yan. You know, on paper, there's just no argument there. Like, 100 definitely popped. 200 had Jones and DC, which fell apart, and then it was backed up by Nunes and Tate. Now, at the time, that wasn't as big of a deal. We can't lie. Even though Misha Tate's a kind of a close friend of the show, or at least we've covered her for a long time. We've done a military trip with her. She's always been pretty popular, but, you know, she didn't reach the Ronda Rousey level, right? And Nunes hadn't become Nunes just yet. In fact, that's when she won the title. Like, now you can go, hey, that's one of the goats of the sport, Amanda Nunes. But she hadn't even done that yet. That's when she won the title from Tate, because Tate had only just won it from Holly Holm 3 months before that. And Holly Holm had only just won it like 3 months before that from Ronda Rousey. But yeah, on paper, if you compare 100, 200, and 300, those other ones popped. And then look at 300. Look at the poster, for crying out loud. You know, it wasn't that impressive. Now, did they break records for Gate? Well, yeah, your business has grown. You know, your business has grown and the arena is much bigger. I remember 100 was at Mandalay Bay. 200 was at MGM. MGM holds more than Mandalay Bay. And then T-Mobile obviously was way bigger than both of them. That was an actual proper arena, not an arena built by a hotel. So yeah. I don't know. It just seemed kind of like unnecessary. And here's the thing I trip out on the most. The reason a lot of authoritarian people like to dismiss the media, it's usually because they obviously want to run a certain ship, right? A tight ship. And they don't want to be questioned. So they cast doubt on the media, who informs the public of what's going on. Usually they're checking government or whatever, right? But in his case, media usually promotes what they have to do. And yeah, sure, I mean, not everything that's going to go up is going to be positive. There's only certain ways to slant certain stories that are out there, right? But for the most part, media does a good job of just telling you this fight's happening at this place on this date. These are the odds. This is what's at stake, you know, and this is what the fighters had to say. I mean, usually they are doing a good job. And I don't understand why he kind of likes to do that. And it just seems so pissy that he does it, because every once in a while, a certain article he likes comes out, or a certain article he dislikes comes out. But he's like a fighter who bitches about haters on Twitter when, yeah, there might be five out of the 100 you scrolled past, right? But the other 90 on you, you're the man, you know, but you're so laser focused on five instead of 95.
I think a lot of his problems can be avoided. It's just the tone that he uses and certain things come back to bite him in the ass. So, like, you don't have to say Nate Diaz doesn't move the needle, right? You could say something different. Like, we were looking in a different direction. That fight wasn't a fight that we thought would do well for the company at this moment in time. But when you choose to say things like Nate Diaz doesn't move the needle, and then he absolutely destroys the needle, then yeah, people are going to make fun of you, right? So, I mean, I don't know. To me, it's kind of funny both ways, but whatever.
I think he might just like be fooling about, messing about. He has the resources to do it. All he has to do is snap his fingers, and one of his 500 employees we'll put together a video, you know, in an hour or two, and then he'll say, okay, more of this, less of that. They tighten it up, and then boom. it's out there. He might just be bored, dude. He just might be a bored billionaire who likes to have fun. But I know he's gotten that playbook from his good friend. But I wish he would realize that. I don't know. I don't think it helps him in the end one bit. So really, it's low common denominator people that are fist bumping them or whatever and thinking like it really was a big deal. Whereas real critical thinkers that really want the sport to grow, that really support him and his website, you know, they're not falling for it, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. But social media is all about the lowest common denominator, you know, and look, I'm in there banging, throwing elbows all the time. Maybe not as much as I used to, but I realize that I'm bringing myself to that level. So I'll send out a tweet and then just kind of make myself laugh like, you know, like I really didn't mean to do it, but I'm rubbing my hands together, hoping that someone falls for the bait, you know, the troll job or whatever. So that's why I know that that's the lowest common denominator of old George here. You know, wow. But for the most part, I really want the best for the sport, the best for the UFC. I respect Dana White and what he's done. I think he could do things better, but there's almost no one on this planet that I know that couldn't be better at what they do.
Yeah, it's true. Hey, you brought up troll jobs. Are we going to talk about the ultimate troll job that was brought forth in front of us this weekend?
Ryan Garcia?
Yeah.
Well, I firmly believe he does have a problem with partying. And I don't know exactly what it is. People obviously think it could be cocaine. A, because of the way he acts. And B, because of who he's aligned with. You know, his promoters, Oscar De La Hoya. Okay, that's one thing. Two, he's open about drinking, but it also looks like he could be doing that. Now, people were saying that leading up to the fight, he did that to build it up. And if he did, genius. It worked. It got us all interested. But I think he's just really immature and really, really not there because of, you know, whatever he's putting in his body. So I don't think I was trolled. I just think that this is the dude that's spiraling out of control a little bit. What do you think?
I think what you just said earlier about everybody can always be better, it can apply a lot to Ryan Garcia because Ryan Garcia's got a lot of skills. But I do think it is these things that kind of hold him back. I thought he had a so-so game plan. The problem was Devin Haney just wasn't really adapting much in the fight. And he just kept dropping his hands. And Ryan Garcia kept landing his money punch. But the thing that I didn't like about it was Ryan Garcia walked away feeling like a winner. And yeah, he did win the fight. But he missed weight. So like you can't say that I drank and I did this and I still won, because you know what? You can do all that stuff and there's a chance. It doesn't happen too often, especially in boxing. There's a chance Devin Haney says, fuck you, I'm not going to fight you. Then did you win? It seems like you kind of screwed yourself. You're lucky that Devin Haney took that fight still. So I wouldn't say it was a victory, but it was shocking. A shocking performance. I just don't know very many people in life that can do that their entire life and still be successful at what they do. But we'll see, man. I'd love to see them fight again.
I would too. And here's the thing about that. He didn't make weight, so he couldn't win the title. Haney could lose the title, which he did, but he couldn't. But Garcia couldn't win it, so he's not the champ. He also lost $1.5 million on a side bet, which from what we heard, he honored it. He didn't win a bonus by winning. Usually in boxing, your purse is your purse, so you would have gotten that anyway. So it's not like you can say, oh, five to show and five to win, so that $5 million, you know, subtract the 1.5 million that he lost, 3 pounds over, he still came out. No, there isn't any of that. He did win. That's good, but he didn't win a title. And I think he looked like a jackass, honestly. Like, I guarantee you, because I've done this. I guarantee you, I always tell people this, because I think he's exactly 25, so this is perfect. 30-year-old Ryan Garcia will look back at 25-year-old Ryan Garcia and just go, what the fuck was I doing? And I know 35-year-old Ryan Garcia will also be going like, man, I was a joke. I'm humiliated looking at that. If he cleans up, you know, who knows? Maybe he doesn't. But at some point, you sober up, and you probably do think that. But, oh my God, he came off like a jackass. Now, he does have skills. He can lead with a left hook, and he can counter a left hook. I think the counter is a lot more better. He really does mix up, you know, going to the body. His 1-2 is nice, but he strays away from it a lot. And then, you know, his little shoulder roll, I'm not too big of a fan of that. I also am not too big of a fan of the amount of time he wastes in between his offensive output. I thought the first six rounds, the first half of the fight, was either 5-1 Haney or at best, or at worst for Haney, and at best for Brian Garcia, 4-2, you know. And that was considering he hurt Haney. Because remember, one of those three knockdowns went from 10-8 to 9-8 because he got a point deducted. Mm-hmm. So he needed to come back the way he did, but he was technically losing that fight. And, you know, early on. But like you said, Haney was very, very predictable. And Haney's power just isn't, I don't think it puts a scare into Garcia, honestly. Even though he hurt Garcia a few times, it wasn't like Gervonta Davis's power. Yeah, now, all that said, that was a fun fight to watch because it was so many variables happening at one time. I was trying to live bet the draw. Like, there was a lot, you know, out there. And I even had, I think I sprinkled a little bit on the first round and second round on Garcia because I just thought, oh, okay, this guy ain't got 12 rounds in him. He's going to go full force. And then if he doesn't get it, I think the other guy might stop him late. Mm-hmm. And I got close in the first round, but
it was fun. I got
close to the draw because one judge's score was a draw. So I needed two judges to disagree or another judge to turn in a draw, and it would have been a majority draw. That would have been a nice little pot to scoop up. What were you going to say?
It was fun, and boxing, in a way, kind of needs a guy like Ryan Garcia to captivate that younger audience a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that I think are getting lost. They're just not, boxing's not really creating that new fan anymore. I think Jake Paul is helping a little bit with that, the things that he does. And then guys like Ryan Garcia, I think, also help Canelo a little bit to a certain extent. But boxing's had a little bit of a shot of adrenaline, in my opinion. I think they've captivated my interest a little bit more lately.
Do you think it was a troll job? Do you think he's a acts like he's
high? I don't think that's what people mean when they say that. I think they just mean like how we all kind of just fell for, because of the fact that somebody acts a certain way, that's just gonna happen always, you know. But
he wasn't as lean as I've seen him in the past. Those 3 pounds look like more than 3 pounds. He looks soft.
Yeah.
But the other guy doesn't push a pace, and Ryan took time off. That's why he was losing rounds as well. But the power is and always was there. And then I think at some point he just hit his stride and realized, oh, okay, I can go 12 rounds and I'm not going to fade, you know? So Congrats to him. But him being a California guy, I was hoping more from him about 3 years ago. And then I feel like he kind of quit a little bit against Davis. I don't know what his training camps are like, but they don't look like they're tip top like other people.
Maybe.
You know, before Oscar, I think, became uber famous and then started, you know, unraveling, it looked like he really put together good camps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of who I compare Ryan Garcia to a little bit. But still time to turn it around. He's still raw and he can improve. But yeah, I'd like to see him shake that whole thing, whatever it is, if it's a shtick or I don't know, but he sounds stupid, dude. Ooh, yeah, your mom's in my DMs. Like,
it's a fool.
Yeah, like it never even came off funny because I don't mind corny, and sometimes corny will entertain me or make me laugh, but it just looked awful.
Cringy.
Yeah, big time. Anyway, how about Karate Combat, man? Shilling against Luke Rockhold. Wow, that was pretty cool, that fight.
Yeah, that was fun, and it was a little bit surprising too because I thought when Luke that got his nose broke that could be the beginning of the end. And because we've seen it in MMA, right? That's kind of what happened with Costa, but he hung in there.
Well, I guess Perry was more of the mouth, right? The tooth or something.
Yeah. He hung in there and he just waited for that right shot and he hit Schilling perfect and Schilling went down, man. But that was a fun fight. I thought Luke did a good job of pissing off Hasbullah. And then calling out Lyoto Machida, right?
Yeah. It looks like he's found his footing there, I should say. And I tripped out that this thing went down in Dubai because for the past week or so, it seemed like Dubai has just gotten, I mean, absolutely bombarded with rain and wind. Mm-hmm. And so it couldn't have been easy to get in and out of that country. And then the country, like I say, in many parts is flooded. That said, they did have an event, and you know, they had some pretty decent talent at this event. They did some, well, I guess their karate obviously was their forte. GSP, but then submission. What's that?
GSP was there.
GSP and Boss on the call. Craig Jones is one of the top grapplers in the world. He was there. And I even saw Raymond Daniels. He was there. So pretty good. You know, they're spending some money, and it seems like in the right places. They're on UFC Fight Pass, and they pop, you know. I mean, if your main event pops, that's a good start. But it's definitely not the All-Valley tournament. I mean, it's pretty violent.
It's a little different from BKFC, but they also have some similarities in the way they're doing things and the type of clientele that they're going after, right? Like a lot of them have intertwined a little bit. You get a guy like Anthony Pettis, a Benson Henderson, they might think BKFC is a little bit too much for them, but Karate Combat, why not, right? So it kind of gives the fighters another avenue too to make a decent paycheck post MMA, post UFC, post Bellator, all that. So I like it, man. It's fresh.
Yeah. Between that and the boxing, it kind of like alleviated from no UFC. And of course, there was a PFL as well. PFL has now wrapped up their third week of the regular season. So now we've had, let's see, women's flyweight, men's heavyweight, men's light heavyweight. They don't have a middleweight. They do have a welterweight. They have a lightweight and a featherweight. Big mistake, by the way, I think, by not capitalizing on bantamweight. There's a lot of talent out there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, middleweight, too. It's bizarre to me how they haven't filled that. I guess six divisions is their sweet spot. I don't know. But when you have Johnny Evelyn and you just purchased Bellator, I would have thought they would have made, you know, done something there. Now, maybe he's tied to TV contracts, or they have to keep him on the title series or whatever. But, I mean, we just saw Liz Carmouche compete, so they pulled her off the championship series.
Yeah,
you know, and she's part of the season, so it doesn't look like it's impossible to do. But yeah,
that is odd.
Yeah. So we did have that. We did have PFL. What do you think so far after the first 3 weeks are in the books? So each fighter has had a fight.
I don't know if I'm like the wrong guy to ask this question to, but I really like PFL. I enjoy it. I'm glad it's around. It's fun. The point system makes every fight feel like there's something at stake every single time. You're not just looking for a winner. You're looking for certain outcomes in the fight. So I've always enjoyed it. And this year with Bellator fighters now kind of being involved in this a little bit, it kind of gives it a little bit of a twist that it needed, because a lot of the same guys that fought each other a lot. So it was just enough, you know, to kind of take it to maybe another level. But I enjoy it, and I think there's some pretty good fights in there.
Yeah. They'll be back in mid-June, and they're going to do Connecticut, Salt Lake City, and Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So they really want to travel with this thing. On this run of fights that they had San Antonio, Chicago, and Las Vegas. And like I say, they've all now fought at least one time. And so if you go to PFL and look at their standings, you can see who's got six, who's got five. All they probably need to do in their next fight is just kind of win and stay healthy, and they move on to the playoffs. So pretty fun. They kind of tweak it a little bit every year. And I'd say my only complaint at this point is still, what fan that tunes in on ESPN is excited about Magomed Umalatov versus Andrei Korshkov? Now, here's what I mean about that. I think they're great welterweights. Don't get me wrong. They're probably both top 20, 25 welterweights. Hell, that Umalatov hasn't even lost. But the thing is, how do you connect with that guy? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, okay, you know, he won or whoever won. And then here comes either broken English or no English. But you just can't connect. And now Lochnane, who won, you know, he speaks English. And he didn't go to a decision. So right away, he did two things that you would want. You know, and he's a good talker. Like, you can connect with that. You almost want to say, when's he fighting again? I want to see that again. Oh, and it happens to be close to where I live. Let's get tickets. But there's just, you know, Shamil Musayev defeated Logan Storley. Okay, you know, there's 50-50 chance that if Storley won, maybe he could be someone that, you know, the fans connected with or whatever. But, you know, I just see a lot. I mean, more than enough foreigners for my taste. For me, as a fan, for a media guy that wants them to grow. I don't think you can grow when you're just using a lot of foreigners that fans can't connect with.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, the one thing I will say that kind of gets to me about PFL that I just don't get why they can't solve it is the downtime in between fights and in between the end of the fight and the reading of the scorecards. I just don't get it. And it's there's so many things in this world that are trying to get your attention, you know, going back and forth between like the Lakers or the Golden Knights. All it takes, man, is you give me that little 10-minute break, I'm going to go somewhere else. And just sitting there. And then a lot of times, like, you know how ESPN Plus is, like, you'll get the same commercials over and over, but sometimes you're just staring at the crowd and you're like, what is going on? Like, I don't understand. It was just a decision. So you went the full rounds. How are the next two guys not ready to go?
Yeah.
That kind of burns
you're right. Me, you're right. And BKFC makes them all look stupid because they really move things pretty quick.
I don't know how they do. Theirs is almost like ridiculously fast. Almost like they're running out there like the Ultimate Warrior when he would run out to the ring. Like the next guy's just coming out. He's practically high-fiving the guy leaving. They do a really good job about that.
Yeah. I do want to get into some news, so we'll stay with PFL, but let's go to our guest right now. Our guest, Big Ben Rothwell. Hell, this guy's been fighting for quarter of a century, and we started covering him back in the IFL days, then he moved to UFC, and then after that, Affliction, then eventually made it back to the UFC, and now he's doing his thing at Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. He'll be in the co-main event spot. No, actually, you know what? Yeah, he is the co-main event with Todd Duffy, right? The main event is Mike Perry and Thiago Alves. The only reason I hesitated is because the champ, the heavyweight champion, is going to be fighting Merrill and Hunt. They're going to be fighting on the card too, but I think they're the fight before Duffy and Rothwell. But either way, Knucklemania 4, it's coming up. And we'll give you all the information on how you can watch it. We'll start up with Ben Rothwell. Big Ben Rothwell, our guest here on the MMA Junkie Radio Show. He's got Todd Duffy ahead on April 27th in Los Angeles. It's Knuckle Mania 4. What's going on, Big Ben? How are you?
Doing great, guys. Thank you.
You know, I go back and I'm looking at the record and I realize cancel bouts have taken place, you know, and things like that. But this is only your third fight in bare knuckle. And it's amazing because we already consider you one of their biggest stars. So you've had quite the impact. I guess you just haven't been able to build on the momentum of that impact.
Well, I got to show up to the fight. So there's always hurdles. You know, I'm not 32, I'm 42. So it comes with this whole new group of things. And state of California is not making it easy. It is the absolute most ridiculous, strenuous group of medical testing I've ever gone through for any fight ever. And it's something. And we're doing it, though. So the goal right now is, first and foremost, just get to the weigh-ins, get everything cleared, get licensed, and put on a show April 27th.
Is there like a stringent set of testing, or is it because of your age? Why are they being difficult?
It's both. Just normal fighters have to do more for California than any other state. And then my age adds on a whole other group of just headache things, like a stress test cardiogram, you know, not just an MRI, but an MRA, you know, a neurologist test. So I had to seek out a neurologist and get a test, and that's still ongoing, actually. So it's just a lot going on. Besides and then the blood work, you know, it's the combat trio is what's known in all commissions, do the combat trio. And California started this year, also added on CBC and another, I don't even know what it is, CAC blood something or another. It's just like, wow, you know, it's just so much stuff here. So
what's an MRA?
Don't forget about the EKG and, yeah, you know, the ophthalmologist exam and all those other things on top of it. So it's something.
What's the MRA?
It's just another form of a brain scan that goes with an MRI. So I honestly didn't 100% know either. Apparently I've had one done in the past and I didn't even know about it. I just hold all these things in cause, you know, I'm not going to get health problems because of all this diagnostic testing I've gone through. You know, it's like a flip side. You know, they say MRIs typically seem to be, it sounds like a really safer than x-rays. And x-rays expose you to radiation. MRIs are all magnet based, so hopefully they're pretty safe. The negatives, they haven't go through it all. The positive is I am a 42-year-old, and I know plenty of guys that don't compete that are my age. They have no idea how healthy. They just go off of what they feel like, you know. And who knows? It's like people that don't change their oil. They're just like, yeah, it works. I'll just keep driving it. It's like, oh, you gotta maintain it, you know. So I feel like this is a pretty serious maintenance that I've gone through, and it's good to see, like, yeah, I'm not able to fight unless I passed everything, and everything has been done so far has come out good. So there's that, you know.
There's no guarantees out there, but is it safe to say this is a number one contender fight for Terrell's title?
I mean, I feel like they kind of, like, the press asked at the press conference, you know, hey, you know, you got the heavyweight title fight as a co-main, you got these two heavyweights with Ben Rothwell as a co-main, and more or less they said, yeah, you know, I think it's performance-based. I think I go out and perform like I have been. I think there's a very good chance that I can, you know, get myself to a title shot. You know, got to get through Todd Duffy. You know, so that's the first thing, the most important thing is not just get through Todd Duffy, but I gotta make it look good too.
Mm-hmm. Is your dream to eventually win a title, or is it to kind of win it and defend it and almost secure your place in that Mount Rushmore, right, of BKFC fighters?
There's a saying, you know, way back, well over a decade ago, one of the champs made a quote that you don't own the belt until you defend it. That was in the UFC. And So that's always kind of stuck in my mind that I can't just win the belt. I at least got to stick around long enough to defend it. So that's the plan, you know. The plan is to keep winning. As long as my body's holding up and I'm having fun and I see myself improving. You know, I wish my boxing was this good just even 5 years ago with the UFC. I think I would have really put on some good fights and maybe stuck around there a little bit longer because I think I would have put some more wins together than I did. And kind of always known for having power and stuff, but my striking is really feeling very crisp right now. I definitely evolved, so to speak. So kind of excited to show it on the 27th.
Knucklemanias, to me, are known for making fans. They're usually very, very great cards. And there's no way around it, man. Like, those cards are exciting when you watch them from beginning to end. Every fight feels like it matters. And so what I wanted to ask you was, amongst your colleagues in mixed martial arts, have any of them come over and said, you know what, I'm becoming a BKFC fan? I may not ever do it, but I enjoy catching these fights and watching the product.
I don't really communicate that much with anyone kind of outside of my circle. You know, I have a couple of outside friends that are very involved in martial arts and they're coaches, and they watch because of me, and they've kind of said, you know, this is exciting. They enjoy it. Now, people that, you know, in my gym and around me, they've become fans. You know, they never watched one until I started, and, you know, they're watching events that I'm not a part of. So I feel like then they really are a fan, and there's a lot of that going on around me. So I think that's pretty cool. I say it's definitely exciting. If you enjoy combat sports, then the BKFC is definitely for you. It's, you know, two guys, you know, we're two fighters stand across, and we're 100% throwing blows. You know, there's no stalling, there's no laying prey. It's knuckle to face, you know, and people love it. And seeing an event live, I always said it about MMA. It's even more so true in this. Seeing a live event really changes things because the whole arena feels the impact and they're really a part of it. My fight in Denver, when I rewatched it, it's like, yeah, you know, it was like whatever watching it. It's a good fight, but it was nothing like to the arena. Every person I talked to that night was just like, oh my God, we could feel the punches hitting them. And it's just a totally different experience.
Ben, correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, you had brought up MMA and your boxing and all that and how much better it's gotten. What about your body as far as they talk about the wear and tear that has to come with training for mixed martial arts can be pretty bad. Even if your fight lasted 10 seconds, you still put in a lot of work on that body. Now being removed from MMA for a while, has your body kind of felt a little different? And is that maybe what keeps the door open for possibly an MMA return at some point?
I don't know if there's an MMA return because I think about all the things I have to go through with the wrestling, the takedowns, the hitting the ground, the jiu-jitsu, which I love jiu-jitsu. It was actually the first martial art that I learned. It's just when you put all those things together, it is a load. It's very hard on the body. The chance for risk is every time we train full MMA, there's a huge chance to get injured all the time that's there. Now, you can get injured doing anything, but what's the risk level? And in this, I spar three times a week now. I know some people don't spar, but I'm really good at sparring. I have the right partners to spar that way. We get great work in, and I enjoy what I'm doing. And the BKFC is 100% gave me longevity. Because go back 2-3 years ago, and I don't know how much more I had in me to keep training for the fights the way that I was. Just the wear and tear, like you said. It wasn't the fight. It was all the training, getting ready for it. And now this. I train this when I don't have a fight, really. And that was really hard to do with MMA later on, to kind of like courage up to train that hard and to go through those things. To do full MMA, so to speak, was pretty tough if I didn't have a reason or a fight signed. While this, we kept sparring. You know, this whole anytime you see between my fights, we've never really stopped doing what we're doing. So there's a big difference. And I enjoy it. Yeah, it's a lot easier and a lot easier on my body.
Who do you think from your past would do well in bare knuckle? Whether you fight them or not, you would just say, hey, you know what? You should come over. I think you'd do good at this.
Well, I think there's a good handful of guys, different weight classes too. Sometimes I see people get cut, and I'm like, hey, I say something, I'll put their name and put BKFC. I'm like, hey, you know, there might be somebody interested in coming over here. I mean, there's just a handful, you know. Like, I think Todd Duffy, I think if you really look at his career, you know, anytime he tried to wrestle or do things MMA related, it actually hindered him. I mean, the guy just wants to strike. That's what he likes to do. That's his fighting style. So I think this is just a natural fit for him. And I love it because the fans love it. It's like, I'm willing to do MMA, but this is definitely more exciting, and it's very hard to be boring in this. Even if your opponent tries to back down, I mean, it's a small fight area. So I'm forced in a fight regardless. And as far as the guys that could do well, I mean, there's just such a big list. I mean, pretty much any of the heavyweights that I've come across, I think, come in here and make exciting fights. If you want a name, and I was going to kind of save it, but like, Todd's been training with Cain Velasquez, and that guy's had some ups and downs, but it's just like, I see he's holding mitts, he's still in this gym, he's still training, and I think that's a name that could bring a lot of eyes to the sport too. So we'll see what happens down the road. Maybe we can wrangle him, come do one.
Yeah, that's a good name. I was even thinking of Roy, because he has done something like this. You guys fought in IFL in 2007, you know. And you want to know what else is ironic? You know, I see this video of Todd. I don't know if you guys were at an airport or where, and he's approaching somebody openly talking about weed. And I'm thinking, in 2009, when you fought Cain, you guys fought in California. Back then, if you did weed within half a month of the testing, you could get dinged, you know. And now everything's just out in the open. How times have changed in our sport in regards to recreational drugs and other stuff.
Yeah, they really changed their tone on that. I think they just found that it wasn't performance enhancing, and why are you going to have a problem with it? And so many more states are making it legal now. So I think that really helped. Obviously, California, you know, spearheading the legalization. I think a lot of fighters in general, besides that, I think athletes do, but just fighters in general, it's a part of their recovery. It's a way to, you know, kind of cope with the intense training that we go through. So it was, you know, like, guys knew they could get tested for it. They didn't stop them from doing it. You know, it's like, so I think it's a good thing for everybody that needs it.
I remember Nate sparked up one of those vape pens, and everyone thought, oh, how dare you? It was after his fight, but you guys would still get tested after fights as well. And now everyone's so open about it. And so there's a lot of things that have changed in combat sports. Ben, what's a perfect scenario, since you can tell by your answers, you don't have much time left in combat sports? Obviously, you'd like to win, and obviously you'd like to fight for a title. And it sounds like you'd like to defend it, but would you like to do that all like within the next year, or is there something to be said for the time off? Your family's growing, obviously. You're a gym owner. Like, you know, how sometimes we're under the impression that the fighters are ready to go, and then there's others who are like, no, 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 no. Talk to me in the fall of 2024.
Yeah, it's kind of out of my power. You know, if I put a good performance, like my last fight, I told everyone, like, hey, you know, let me get in there. Now, this is my fault. Like, I didn't get to fight in December, but still, April to December was still a good chunk of time. Now I just added on another 4 months because I wasn't able to show up in December. So it's now I just had a year layoff, you know, 41 to 42. It was like the worst time for a year layoff. But here I am. I'm still getting another fight. I think that has affected me. What you're listening to and hearing is just like that as a whole was a bummer. But I'm hopeful that the BKFC is really growing. They're really getting a huge fan base, and perhaps they'll be able to have more events with guys like me on it. So fingers crossed, I put on a great performance and we can get a quicker turnaround. And if that can happen, then, you know, I'm not trying to put a time limit or anything. What is a quick turnaround? 3 months is fine. I mean, 3 months is cool. 4 months even. Anything shorter than 6 months, you know, or another year. That's going to make it tough to keep going. But if we can get some fights going, I could get 2 to 3 in this year. That would be exciting. I could keep going. And I don't want to see what the number is or how long I want to go, but it's not forever, and it's not at the age 50. I know there's talk of – you talked about guys that want to come in, and obviously there's a lot of talk about Mark Hunt coming in. Some people are built different, you know. He's just an extremely old, tough man that still has dangerous fists, and I believe I'll be dangerous at 50. I just don't know that I want to compete at this level at 50. I would like to have my I'd like to do what I need to do in this next few years, whatever it is. And by age 50, I'd like to be a full-fledged businessman where, you know, I have other things going on for myself that I'm actually setting up now, and they're going well. And, you know, I kind of my goal is to accomplish what I need to accomplish here soon, so that I don't feel that I have to keep doing it, or I got to accomplish something. And I don't want to fight because of money either. Like that's also really, really not a good reason. You know, we all like it, but I don't want to have to because of it. Like that's a problem. So right now things are good. I'm doing it because I enjoy it, and I'm getting taken care of. And as long as I can keep things like this, I'll keep doing it. But I got to get through each fight. You know, that's really the reality is I have to get through each of these fights.
Ben, from the time that you guys were supposed to fight to now, has anything changed as far as, like, do you rewatch film? Is there anything you've picked up where you went, oh, I didn't even realize that the first time? Anything different for
Todd Duffy? I really got – so I have a main training partner who's great and he's bigger than me. And then we have another guy that's – he's 6'5". I'm like 6'4". He's 6'5", and he's like 250 pounds. And he's a Golden Gloves winner, and he's on his way to becoming pro something, because I might bring him to BKFC. But he's doing between me and my main partner, Kalen, his name's Lewis, we've really turned him into a beast. So I have two big guys that are really helping me. And this last 3 months, our sparring has really increased. We had some very intense rounds, and we've had long, long rounds where we pushed, you know, sparring for the course of an hour. You know, a lot of times it's like, oh, you'll get your main work done in 30 minutes. It might take 45 or an hour to get done because of rest, things like that. But we're doing actual work. We increased a lot of that. We increased our output, increased our intensity. So as far as footage and things like that, I kind of know what I'm up against. And I really have to focus on what it is that I'm doing. I'm really trying to improve myself. Like I said, I've been really working on my style. And I got asked this question earlier. I guess my way to say it is, just say Todd can't fight, you know, the week of the fight, and they're able to get him a new opponent. Well, am I going to freak out and be like, oh, my God, I only got a week to fight that guy? I'm like, no, I'm creating my system and my style that it doesn't matter. And I'm really ready to fight anybody. If I have to fight Hunt, I have to fight Mick Terrell, Todd Duffy, any of those guys step up last minute, whatever. My style is ready to take on any of them. So I'm really, really focused on that right now. I don't want to be worried or scared about something changes, somebody's different. I have this, you know, O-type, O-blood negative type fight style that's just universal. I can universally kick anybody's ass.
You know,
I love that.
We just came off of UFC 300, and all anybody's been talking about is that Holloway Gaethje moment. When you look at your two guys' style, you both like to strike. Is this fight basically the 10 seconds of that fight? Could that be this entire fight? Could you see a scenario where you guys just meet in the middle and somebody?
I think that BKFC's so exciting because there's many fights that are like, I mean, literally every fight is possible of that. I mean, that's what it is. We're pointing to the middle of the circle and we're banging, you know, there's just guys are fresh and people move around and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's like meet in the middle and, you know, we're throwing. Obviously those guys have just fought for 24 minutes and 50 seconds. So they're exhausted, you know. If we fight all five rounds in this, that's 10 minutes of fighting with 1 minute rests. So it's 14 minutes is a total fight. That's not 3 5-minute rounds yet, even. You know, three three 3 5-minute rounds, a 2 1-minute rest, it's 17 minutes. And that's just a basic fight, it's 17 minutes. And our fights at most are 14 minutes. So there's a difference in the cardio, what goes on, things like that. Max and Gagey went 24 point, you know, like you said, 24.50 seconds. And can't even math that. No, plus the 1 minute rest. So it's almost 30 minutes. Sorry, my math is screwed. Like almost 30 minutes of a elevated heart rate, high intensity. You know, that's another level of exhaustion and everything. And it's something I don't think you see out of heavyweights, especially, or even the other weight class. So it's something special to those two to go out and throw everything out after almost. I'm messed up. It was 5 rounds, right? Yeah. It happened at the end of the fifth round.
Yeah, and it ended at 24:59.
Yeah, they needed a 5-round fight because of the BMF title. Yeah. So I want to talk like I'm crazy here, but yeah, I was going to get my facts straight. But
hey, Ben, do you feel at Knucklemania, David Feldman usually always has some kind of surprise, some kind of announcement. Do you feel like maybe...
you want to hear it?
Huh?
You want to hear it? You want to hear the surprise?
Sure.
Knucklemania 4 is going to be free to all of its subscribers. So if you're not a subscriber, hop on it. It's $8 a month, and you get all the events. Everything that's coming up, you get it, and you get Knucklemania 4. And if you don't want to be a subscriber, it's like $30 pay-per-view from the service that's going to provide it. But, I mean, $8 a month, it is the best deal in combat sports. And they have multiple events a month now, and you're getting the Knucklemania 4 featuring the man, Platinum Perry, in a big fight. You got the heavyweight title fight and me and Todd Duffy. Come on, that's worth more than $8. Mm-hmm. So that was a hell of an announcement. They just made it a couple days ago. I've been promoting that because I said BKFC just keeps doing some really awesome things, really cares about its fans, and putting it out there. It's going worldwide.
Do you think eventually you might be a guy that fights Mark Hunt? Do you think Mark Hunt will eventually make his way, and would you like to fight him?
I could. I don't want to say yes or no because I hear things like he wants to get a couple fights in, then he's going to fight for the title, and then he's got his people are like, oh, he gets the next title fight, you know, without even fighting in the BKFC yet. So he's got good – he's got promoting, and they're out there throwing stuff. I think he's a name that brings eyes to it, and I think that's always what's appealing to the BKFC is guys that, you know, have that following and fight a certain way. And Mark Hunt has all of that. Obviously, been around a long time, got a big fan base. So big fight for me, even though it'd be a rematch, it's a fight that I would obviously would like to get back. Like I said, you named him, you know, and Roy Nelson, Cain Velasquez. I mean, those are all big fights. I think they're all main event fights even. So I'm down for any of it. But – I'd like to get through Todd, and I'd like to get the title fight, honestly. And maybe Mark comes in to fight me for the title. Okay, cool.
You know, when the UFC started, it had no rules, just no eye gouging and no fish hooking. And they had different weight classes, 200 and under, 200 and over. So they did a lot of things early on, right? Probably based on either what fans or fighters and commissions were suggesting or whatever. I'd like to ask you, is there one thing or more that you'd like to change? Not like you're being critical, but just like as a suggestion in terms of the fighting space you're in or the rule set or the time, what, you know, anything
rules,
like that?
Rules, what rule needs to be added? Yeah, it completely changed my fighting style from when I started. It's knees to the head on the ground.
I'm talking about like, in bare knuckle.
For bare knuckle, I'm not so sure. I think right now I'm just getting adapted. I just know in combat sports in general, it always pissed me off in MMA that they took away me being able to knee my opponent on the ground. They're like, what is this guy talking about? I'm like, yeah, that's where I'm from. I started in 1999. I could knee people in the head on the ground. And I used to wrestle a lot more because of that, because I'd get guys down and I'd circle north-south, and it was a great place to land some knees. In bare knuckle, I don't know, I'm liking it. They allow a clinch, so that's huge. Keep that. And for the most part, it's I want to say it's bare knuckle fighting. Potentially it's boxing with a clinch. And I think the speaks for itself. I don't really know. Is there anything that you guys seen rules wise? Because it seems to be flowing pretty good right now.
Yeah, I guess sometimes those 2 minutes can fly by. And I know that a lot of fighters come over from MMA and like you were just doing the math, right? Well, at the end of the first round in MMA, you're halfway through the third round in bare knuckle in terms of fighting time. Some fighters kind of just take a while to get their groove. But again, I'm not in there. You could tell me, bro, 10 minutes is enough. Shut the fuck, you know. But yeah, there are some times where I'm like, damn, that round's over so quick. And it feels like sometimes you just take longer to find your groove.
Yeah, we don't want decisions. The 2 minutes pushes and you get a whole minute rest. Instead of 5 minutes, 1 minute rest, you get 2 minutes, 1 minute rest.
Yeah.
Mentally, you can't help it. You're like, it's go time. You know what I mean? It's go time. This fight's over. And if you watch, I think it has a lot to do with the action. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People are able to go out. You're not seeing people put their hands on their knees and be really exhausted. And if somebody does get exhausted in this, yeah, usually they're getting like pretty much fucked up. They're getting knocked out or something. So it's also good for that because we want finishes. You know, there's decisions still happen, even with these short rounds, the way it goes. But, man, there's a lot of finishes. And that's what the fans want. That's how we're going to blow this thing up.
Hopefully Junior Dos Santos and Derek Lewis maybe come over. They always love to throw hands, and they got big names. At some point, I'd love to see them. Hunt, with all respect, I think he is near 50. But he just doesn't look like he's ever going to turn it off. Looks like he's ready for a fight at any time. But, man, I love this sport. I really do. And I can't wait for Knuckle Mania 4 in California. Todd Duffy against our guest here, Ben Rothwell, two guys that we know from the MMA world. They're going to mix it up there. They also have a heavyweight title fight. And Hunt, Terrell, and then we have the main event with Platinum Perry and Thiago Al. Solid, solid 1-2-3 matchup. Ben, as always, thanks for the time. We'd love to catch up with you after the fight. In the meantime, safe travels to LA and have one hell of a fight on April 27th.
I don't want
to just get that app. Get that app. It's free to you once you subscribe. So like Ben said, that's a great deal. Sorry about that. What were you going
to say? No. All great info there. Let them know it. Another thing is just to the MMA Junkie Nation. You know, I want to win the belt because the first order of business after obtaining it, I don't even need to defend it. I just want to get it. I want to come to Vegas. I want you guys to have a party. I want to come and one more hoorah while I'm still fighting and I'm still doing my thing. And I'd love to have the belt to do it and come. And we have a party and come say hi to everybody that's supported us, supported you guys, and supported us for all these years.
Man, that sounds great. That sounds great. Yeah. Thank you. All right, Ben. Thank you for your time. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
You heard them. You get the app, you'll get the event for free. Not a bad trade-off.
Watch the whole thing. It's really worth it to sit there and watch every fight.
Oh, yeah. There's some nice bloody matchups that happen. And they do a great job with the production, turning fights around. So big thanks to Ben Rothwell, as always, for his time. Goes PFL. Have you seen kind of the back and forth with Gegard Mousasi, who's frustrated because he doesn't know where his place will be? But then after PFL 3 regular season, the media asked Ray Sefo about, like, what's your side, you know? And he said a fight was offered, and he didn't take it, you know? So we haven't just sat on our hands and done nothing. But then Nima Simpafor, I hope I pronounce his name, he's a longtime manager of Gegard Mousasi. He's like, hey, look, Ray's my guy and all that, but I disagree. What they wanted was for one, they just haven't communicated well. But they did want Gegard, I guess, to move up to light heavyweight and fight, but they weren't going to give him ample time. He says, you know, that's something he would want to prepare for by getting bigger because he's been competing more as a middleweight. And so it's kind of been going back and forth. He's 38 years old. He's won some titles. He has had some exciting fights in his day, but I think even he would agree he's definitely past his prime. His last few haven't been as exciting. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Where would you like to see Gegard Mousasi in this whole
Bellator series, championship series, PFL, like, or, and you can even say I would have liked to have seen him in the regular season because, you know, there's not that many options. But what would you have done with this piece of the puzzle?
Well, it goes back to me, I think I'd rather see him at light heavyweight just because at his age, for one, there is no season right at middleweight, so he couldn't do that. But even if he could do a season, I don't know that it's to his benefit. I don't know that at his age he should be doing that. But I think there's like different matchups that you can do at light heavyweight. I think it'd be a little bit more fun. Something like that. I definitely do enjoy seeing his name come up on a card, and I do enjoy watching him fight. His name carries a certain value to it. It's enough to make you go, who's on the card again? Okay, I'm staying home. I do that. But I think, you know, putting this out in public, getting Ray Sefo to kind of talk about it, I think now there will be some sort of resolution to the whole thing. I think it did benefit them talking about it.
He probably does make a lot of coin. So God, yeah. I imagine they didn't want to pay him what he was making, but it sounded from what Nima was saying that they were willing to at least talk about, you know, how they could, you know, negotiate and come up with a number that works for both parties. But he says there just hasn't been great communication. Now, I looked at that Bellator roster at 205. It's a lot of 185ers. Mm-hmm. Shoeface, Kasanganai. I think Silvera would honestly be a middleweight, you know. It's not like he's jacked and lean and 6'4 and all that. No disrespect to the guy. He was a finalist last year. But Sadabusi, he used to be a welterweight for crying out loud. So I think that would have been his best spot was for Gegard was there because he would have fought a lot. He's complained about not fighting a lot in the last year and a half. So A, he would have fought a lot. B, it wouldn't have been as drastic of a weight cut for him as it would be at 20 pounds lighter. You got $1 million at stake if you win this damn thing and another belt to brag about. You know, he's held a few different belts. So I don't know. I think that would have been the best spot. I don't know how aggressive they were in, you know, trying to find a home or whatever. But if they called and called and called and their hands were tied, then what can you do? I mean, I don't know what else to say. But at this point in time, I guess the only thing you can do is go fight Evelyn. I mean, I don't know. What can he do? Like, he can't just jump the queue in the middleweight division and fight Evelyn, I don't think. So, Kasanganai is in the regular season. And so now you could fight maybe Corey Anderson if he moved up. But again, he hasn't built up a resume at 205 as of late. He used to be a 205er. He used to be a Strikeforce champ. I don't know, but they better do something with him quick because once you start getting in the upper 30s, it goes by fast.
Yeah, and like he has to understand too that he does have a name, but he's not really delivering. You know, he's lost his last two fights. He's already lost to Eblen, so it's like you have to bend a little bit on your side as well. But I mean, look, I think if I'm PFL, I'd probably use him to put over some of my fighters. You know, because how many of these scraps do you want to, how many of these losses do you want to take too to Bellator guys?
Yeah, it's true. What do you think of Manon Fiorot, who did an interview with our Fada Hanoun saying she wants the backup role for Grasso and Shevchenko 3, which is going to take place in Las Vegas? It's still about what, May, June, July, 5 months away. So she's got enough time to prep for both. You like it?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I think it's something that you should be saying, especially, you know, it's weird. Some people look at that situation she's in and they don't think she's threatened at all. And then other people think there is a little bit of pressure. So I think you have to be that person because somebody else could take that spot too, and you never know. So I don't see why not. I thought she was pretty down to earth in saying that, and we'll see.
It's a payday. Most of the time we don't fight. and you stay sharp by staying in a training camp. But yeah, she's more than her campaign to be a world champ is as good as it gets, you know, by beating Blanchfield and Thug Rose and, you know, having the record and success that she's had in the UFC. She's already there. So this probably is a good spot for her, just in case a title opportunity does pop up somehow. We don't wish ill will on anyone or you know, bad luck in the health department for anyone. But yeah, I like it. How about Justin Gaethje? Have you heard his what he's been saying? He says he vows not that he's not done after the brutal 300 UFC 300 knockout. He says he doesn't regret taking it, even though now it looks like he waited six more weeks, he could have found Makhachev, although he didn't know that back then.
Mm-hmm.
And he also said something else. He said that had he beaten, although I don't think he would have. He's very adamant about taking longer camps. In fact, the commentator said so much. I don't know why he kind of put that out there, unless he meant, you know, if he iced him in round one or something like that, then maybe. But that goes against everything I've known about Justin Gaethje.
What I didn't like about his statements was he said he just can't change the way he fights and he's going to continue fighting the way he fights. That's just not smart. It just isn't. And it's your life that you're putting on your line. It's your health. I was hoping that he would say something along the, I mean, even then when he has kind of said it before, but you just don't take him serious. But you can't keep doing that, man. That was a brutal knockout. It was just bad. And he took a lot of damage in that fight. And it's so weird because when he had his little stance of, I only have, you know, 3 to 4 left or whatever number he threw out there, it was because of that. He was saying, I want to still be able to, like, not slur and do all these things. And now he might have gone too deep in all that. Like, I wouldn't risk fighting like that again. Are you crazy? Like, who was it? Was Manny Moicano. He kept it real. Hell no, I ain't fighting Max Holloway. I don't want a piece of that. I respect that. You know, I think Justin should say, maybe not say I don't want to fight Max Holloway, but definitely say something like, yeah, you know, I got to fight him differently. I'm not the same guy I used to be. But those comments just... When you hear things like that from fighters, you just think, man, they're just not being realistic anymore.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of Jamal Hill also opening up about his loss on his own YouTube channel? Were you kind of feeling what he had to say about everything? It was only like 8 minutes long. I don't know if you caught it, though.
So, okay. I thought he said a lot of good things, but I don't know if I believe him. That's the problem. You know, like he said a lot of things that made you think you learn, you do this, you do that. But then he came back and he said, I'd fight him again and I'd knock him out. Like, I don't know, man. Sometimes fighters, they're just hard to read. And there's times where Jamal Hill can say like the most mature, down to earth thing. And then right away, like in the next sentence, he could say something where you go, come on, man, like that just isn't how things are. It's really bizarre with him. I like him. And I think he's a great fighter. And who knows, just maybe being in that spotlight, being in the situations that you're in where people are constantly doubting you or telling you how great you are. Like there's nothing in the middle. Maybe it just changes you as a person. I don't know. But it's hard to believe. I guess I'll leave it at that.
He was saying the kicks were working to the body. The kicks were working to the legs. I didn't see anything that was really threatening Alex. Maybe he felt like they were setups towards an eventual KO, but I just didn't feel like we were even close to anything from Hill. The fight was actually kind of slow, honestly, from both sides. And
I think because one guy was stalking his prey.
Yeah, and he said something about keep your hands up. Like, that's the lesson. And how can that be the lesson when you actually threw a deadly punch at him just as he threw his at yours while he was stepping on your foot, by the way. Mm-hmm. But you gave a thumbs up, and then you both kind of high-fived. that fight had already been reset for a few seconds before he did what he did. And so there is no, like, I learned a lesson, because there was no lesson. Like, whatever DC and Chael Sonnen said, I just don't feel had any merit to it. They both knew that Herb had reset the fight without actually doing an official reset. And so, yeah, have your hands up at all times, for one. But two, like I say, I believe he threw the first strike after the time back in. And he also threw a deadly strike at Pajeda, but it's just that Pajeda landed his. So he was well aware of what was happening. And Jamal doesn't seem like an excuse guy to me. And it seems like he's taken his loss very, very well up until just kind of like that one comment. But look, again, I'm not going to tear a guy down because there's 100 things he does and says that I'm feeling, I'm liking, you know, I'm a fan. And then just because he says something, then all of a sudden I'm off the bandwagon. I'm not off the bandwagon. Right. I do think he can be a champ. I do disagree with taking a fight so quick at UFC 303 against Khalil Roundtree. Yeah. So that's about 2 months away. That was a pretty good KO he took. And he's probably itching to get in there and just right the wrong. But I think that's the wrong approach, because I think he could wait till September, we'll say, and fight at the Sphere, you know? So you're still in Las Vegas, you're still on a major card, and I'm sure they could find a light heavyweight for you. What DDP did last year when he beat Robert Whittaker and then said, nah, I'm not going to fight Izzy on your terms in September, I'm going to heal. And then he came back and put a number on Strickland, and then he said, nah, I'm not going to fight at 300 because, again, I'm not ready. Just those extra couple months seem to be like genius, you know, on his part, because the best DDP showing up each time, not one that's struggling, you know, with his health or he's just not ready or whatever. He's not pressing the panic button. And so he's made some actual pretty good decisions. And now, you know, he'll get to fight on his terms whenever he's ready, whether it's in Australia or wherever they have him pinned. It'll be him and Israel Adesanya. It looks like Strickland's already fighting Costa, but I like the decision making he's done in the last year.
Yeah. And Khalil Roundtree is no joke. Have you ever seen the missiles that guy fires, dude? Like, I don't know if this is a good idea, but we'll see.
Yeah, it seems a little soon. And when it works out, you know, you want to laugh at the media and the fans. You see what I tell you? I mean, look, you have a 50-50 chance, right? It's either you or the other guy. But when it doesn't, I just feel like it hurts you way more than it helps you when it helps you. Well, is that true or not? Well, look, if he beats Roundtree, he doesn't get a shot at Pajeda then. Magomed is ahead of him. And if anything, Yuri's back in the running, you know? So I don't think it's as automatic as he thinks it is.
I'm not saying he's like this or believes this, but some people do. Sometimes fighters just feel like until they get that next fight, they are still a loser, right? The guy that lost to Alex Pereira. The second you get that next fight and get that win, you feel like a winner again, and your mentality changes again. And maybe your line of questioning is a little different, right, from the media and all that. Maybe it's just ego, man. Like, maybe it's just that I don't like sitting here right now, where when you look at my Tapology, the last thing that's there is this horrible moment that happened in front of millions of people.
That's probably it. A lot of it probably does have to do with ego. And he stepped out of his shell and talked some shit on the last day. And I don't blame him for it, because that card was just... It was nice and thick and deep and whatever you want to call it, right? The talent was there. But, and this is me in Peru, I wasn't in Vegas, but just to me, it didn't seem like it was dominating the headlines like I thought it would, or like I kind of remember it happening to the other cards. It just wasn't doing that. Now, to be fair, both 100 and 200 were on international fight weeks. So usually that's in July. And guess what's in July? Not football. Not basketball and not hockey, because football hasn't started yet. Basketball and hockey are done in June. right? Mm-hmm. So there's only usually baseball. And baseball, right around that time, that's why the ESPYs are on the day after the All-Star game, I think, because that's the only day when all four major sports aren't in action. And so the UFC is usually kind of landing in there somewhere. Right now, the UFC was going against, let me see, I mean, we were just coming off March Madness. Yes, and then the baseball or well, baseball had just started, and then hockey and NBA are you know getting their playoffs things going, so they had more opposition there. But whatever, like I don't want to go back to the whole Dana White topic. I said what I said. If honestly, I thought it was pretty funny, and he probably he got a chance to flex against some people like Brendan Schaub seemed to get the brunt of it.
Yeah, and he had kind of a funny response. I can't remember exactly what he said, but he just took it on the chin, too.
What did he say?
I don't remember exactly, but it was just kind of like maybe like something along the lines of, why you got to bring up old shit or something like that, right? Like he just kind of laughed it off, too.
Let's close with this. I did see one comment on his thread, and it said, if Max doesn't point to the ground, and if they don't have that epic KO, 300 isn't as big of a deal as it is. And I thought, okay, Pineda did take out Hill. And if Max doesn't do that to Justin, we don't have the adrenaline dump. So it could be that Weili and Yan Zhonan, who I thought that was a good fight. I didn't think that was a shitty fight at all.
Mm-hmm.
Then they set us up, and then we get the KO from Hill over or Pineda over Hill. We might be going bonkers over that. Who knows? Like it really made me think because I went back. Bo Nickel was flat. And Rakic and no wait that was on the prelims. What was
that? That was good. Kayla destroyed
Oliveira and Sarukian. That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad.
That was a good fight.
Yeah, and then but yeah, Zhang Weili and Yan Zhonan. It was an actually pretty fun fight because Zhonan kept knocking her down. She wouldn't go away, but it didn't seem like they had legions of fans behind them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it looked like kind of like an 8 plus or 8.5 or something like that. But Holloway's knockout, those last 10 seconds kind of saved it. And everyone forgets it was a pretty good fight, right? But Justin's kicks, they weren't affecting Max. And his punches, he wasn't landing them, you know, on Max. And Max was the one kind of doing the job. But Max was on his way to cruise into a 4-1 victory. True. And that would have been that. So that comment was interesting. And it really did a lot for that card, you know, because it was very, very viral and, you know, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Just wanted to close with that.
It would have been a solid card. And I think the argument is, well, these 100, 200s, 300s, they can't be solid cards because that's what we always get. They have to be nuts.
Yeah. Let's wait and see what 3-0-3 is like, which is International Fight Week. If Connor still commands his presence and that town's flipped upside down with Irish fans and it's like the old days, then I think week one can still go Dana. Look, no hate here, all right? But this really should have been 300, what you're seeing here. You know, the way the Irish and McGregor fans kind of take over the city. And who knows? Maybe that's gone by the wayside and it just isn't there anymore. And then, you know, maybe they did the right thing. They tried to build whatever they could and have McGregor have his own event where he could headline it, I suppose. I don't know, but we'll see. Folks, we're going to bounce on out of here. Don't forget about that watch along on May 4th for UFC 301 in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Back to the normal start time of 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We'll have lots of reminders about that as we get close. Spinning back click every Monday. We're back to our noon Eastern start time, 9 a.m. on the Pacific time zone. And it's 1 hour live over on youtube.com/MMA Junkie Video. Or if you go to Facebook, facebook.com/official MMA Junkie, or just go to the website and you can go to the actual article there that talks about SBC and go through those channels. But you can get it to us live. Participate in the show via the chat. You'll like it. I promise you, the audience keeps growing. We thank you for that. We're out of here for now. Go out and be a champion.